Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Mike Canary. Increases in potentially lethal heat driven by climate change will affect every state in the contiguous U.S. in the decades ahead. That's the main conclusion of a new report released today by the Union of Concerned Scientists. It's accompanied by a peer-reviewed study published in the journal Environmental Research Communications. The analysis, titled Killer Heat in the United States, Climate Choices and the Future of Dangerously Hot Days, says we should expect a hotter future and that nearly everywhere and that by the end of the century, assuming we take no action to reduce global emissions, parts of Florida and Texas would experience the equivalent of at least 5 months per year, on average, when the feels-like temperature exceeds 100 degrees. Joining me now to discuss the report and how it was compiled is one of its co-authors. Juan Declet Barreto is a climate scientist with the Union of Concerned Scientists. Juan, welcome to Gulf Coast Live. Thanks for being here.
Hi, I'm Mike. Thank you for inviting me.
If you'd like to add your voice to our discussion, give us a call now. The number is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So first of all, tell us just a real quick bit about your background.
I am trained as a geographer. With expertise in the social and environmental consequences of climate change impacts, namely extreme heat.
How long have you been affiliated or been with the Union of Concerned Scientists?
About 3 years.
All right. And what role did you play in compiling this report?
I was one of the co-authors of the peer-reviewed piece that you mentioned and also of the report.
Okay. And how long did this process take and what kind of data did you guys use to compile this report?
It took us about 1 year, year and a half from initial scoping to compiling the data, developing the heat index estimates for the different climate change scenarios.
What were the data points that you used and kind of can you describe in layman's terms how you came up with this analysis?
Absolutely. The data for temperature and relative humidity represent the international scientific community consensus on what carbon emissions will do to the global climate system during the 21st century under a different range of action scenarios that we have. We looked at those at the conditions that could be that could happen under different climate change scenarios for the heat index and what that would mean for public health.
Is it normal for the Union of Concerned Scientists to release reports like this that are accompanied by peer-reviewed journal publishing, you know, published journal papers?
Yeah, it's not unprecedented for us. A couple of years ago, my colleagues in a study that I did not participate on conducted a work called Underwater that analyzed the number of days, the impacts from sea level rise on coastal
property.
We
had them on this show.
Right, yeah. And that was accompanied by a peer review piece as well.
Explain how this heat index works and what all factors into what the heat index is.
So while the temperature is what we can measure on a thermometer, the heat index is what that temperature feels like, and that is influenced by the humidity because it's humidity has a definite impact on how people experience temperatures and how your body can be affected or lose its capacity to cool down under some really, really hot days.
So the idea would be then that because of increasing temperatures, it's not just temperatures, but it would be increasing humidities. It would be shifting where humidity goes. Is that all part of this picture?
That's right. That's what motivated us to develop the heat index as an indicator of what future climate change may look, because most studies out there just looked at the temperature and did not take into account the relative humidity and how that may affect people in the future.
Hmm. So give us the national takeaway on what we might expect here.
Well, if we don't take action, the number of extremely hot days will increase across most places in the U.S. As an example, by the mid-century, the number of days above a feels-like temperature or heat index above 105 would quadruple. That is significant because that puts at risk some 90 million people that will experience 30 or more days with such heat compared to 1 million now.
How about here in Florida?
Well, let's see what the future holds for the state. By the mid-century, on average, states across the U.S. will see 16 more days above a 105, it feels like, temperature. But Florida is facing 58 additional days per year, on average, over 105. That is very concerning for a state that historically has experienced only 4 such days on average.
And that's based on the mid-century, because it breaks it down by Let me hear. I have it here. So it's historical numbers, slow action, no action, mid-century, late century.
That's
so what
right.
you were just giving was slow action or no action.
We're talking about if we don't take any action. Basically,
that's the no action.
The course on which we are currently. This is what we're facing by the mid-century. As carbon emissions continue, if they are allowed to ramp up, by the late century, we can see many more such days. And just to give you an idea of what we could see here in Collier County, we could have – people in Collier County could have 4 months' worth of days above 105, which is significant because Collier County has only seen 16 such days historically.
We've had we've been off to a really hot summer. I've lived here all my life, and I have to say the beginning of this summer has been warmer than past summers. I think we've got data to prove that. So what you're saying is that according to this report, if we don't do something to curb global warming, we're going to see like a 4 or 5-fold increase in these super hot days over what we're experiencing now.
That's right. The Southeast region is the most impacted, in particular Southern Florida. Is the place where we are seeing that because of the increases in temperature and relative humidity, we could have many, many more people at risk.
So what can people do? This is one of those – you know, this is the million-dollar question. It's this huge issue. We have this somewhat speculative data that says this is what's going to happen, and then people hear that. And what can people do?
Well, the data represent the international scientific community's consensus of what climate change may look like. When we think about – so we're fairly certain that these things can materialize. When we think about the solutions, then there are – we basically cannot adapt our way out of this problem. There are certainly things that individuals do and can do to reduce their risk, but the breadth and extent of emissions reductions that we need to be able to avoid the worst consequences of climate change mean that the United States needs to do a lot more than it has been doing recently to curb climate change, and namely needs to stay in the Paris Agreement. It needs to signal that it will not remove itself from the climate agreement, from the Paris Agreement, as has been signaled by the current administration. Needs to continue implementing and not dismantle the Clean Power Plan, which is a plan to reduce carbon emissions from the power sector. And regular everyday people and people who are listening and people who care about their children's future and for example, would like for their children to be able to play football as it is so beloved here in the state of Florida, need to demand that our leaders at all levels of government believe and respect the science, take heed from the scientific community, work on solutions and demand solutions that are going to take us out of the climate change crisis that we're living.
Over the course of the time that you've worked on this issue, do you feel like we're in a better place now in terms of public understanding and acceptance of that or neutral or worse than when you got started?
I think that among the general public, there is a greater understanding and a recognition that climate change is very real, that it's not something that we can kick down the can. We are seeing those impacts today. Many people in the Gulf Coast, in the U.S. Caribbean, in the Midwest have recently experienced very traumatic climate-induced dislocations from hurricanes and flooding, wildfires in the West as well. But that seems to be out of there seems to be a disconnection between that knowledge of regular people and what our leaders in the federal and national government in the United States are doing. So there is a need to reconnect those, to have leaders that will that understand the science, that heed the advice, that work together with the private sector, with the public sector, with public health people, with scientists to develop solutions to what is knocking on our door right now. We have, as a society, something like 10 years before we have before the climate decade of the 2030s reaches us, which is what scientists have told us, is how long we have to make drastic reductions to avoid the worst consequences of climate change.
Well, that is all the time we have. They went by fast. For this part of the show, thanks to my guest, Juan Declette Barreto. He's one of the co-authors of the new Killer Heat Report released today by the Union of Concerned Scientists. Juan, thank you so much for your time and for coming by. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We're going to take another quick break, but when we return, we're going to learn about a brand new effort that was 15 years in the making to release tiny insects called thrips into the wild here in Florida in order to combat the spread of invasive Brazilian pepper trees. We'll chat with the researcher who's led that effort from the beginning. I'm Mike Canary. You're listening to Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.